say to you what the Lord wants me to say, and you can hear. I'll pray that you can hear what he wants you to hear. You just pray for each other for a moment. Let's ask for Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The guards even expressed amazement. Certainly the crowd were amazed at Jesus. This is truly the prophets. The guards said in astonishment, never before has anyone spoken like this man. They actually used that as the excuse why they wouldn't arrest him. They were so taken up by his words. We might wonder what he was talking about. Well, if we dial back just before this passage, Jesus was just in the midst of the temple crying out, whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him. Jesus saw that it was possible for us to become fountains of living water. Jesus saw that it was possible for us to carry God, living water. Living water is an image for God. God is the one, the life-giving water that gives life to everything. For us to actually have him within us, first of all, and then to allow him to pour forth from us, to give life to others, to bring life and beauty to what's around us. He saw that in every one of us. Every one of us can have that stream of life-giving water flowing from within him. Again, like we've been reflecting on with Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity, Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity. Those streams of life-giving water can come from the depths of our souls as God himself, through baptism, dwells in us. And that's amazing. And that's why the guards are amazed. That's why the people are amazed. Saint Elizabeth says, praise in that prayer to the Trinity that I think you've picked up now, maybe have prayed once through already. She says, give peace to my soul. Make it your heaven, your cherished dwelling place, and the place of your repose. Let me never leave you there alone, but keep me there, wholly attentive, wholly alert in my faith, fully adoring, and fully given up to your creative action. So again, she tells us we can have heaven, we have heaven in our souls. It's worth taking a little time in prayer just to consider that. That's amazing. Sometimes we look around, we see, oh, you know, this person's such a saint, this person's so wonderful. We read the lives of the saints. Oh, those are, it must have been wonderful to be around them. You know what they had? They had heaven in their souls. You know what you have? You have heaven in your soul. You have what they have. You have that within you. And just to take a little bit of time, maybe already during the Mass, but this afternoon, to think about that. It's kind of amazing. We have that in us. We have heaven within us. We just find our way in there. We should be able to find our way inside our own self, right? It's not like a big mountain we have to climb or a fortress we have to unlock. It's just a matter of going deeply into, more deeply into who we are, to the depths of our own soul. It's heaven. Heaven is in there. But St. Elizabeth also gives us the idea that it can be in there without us being in there. She can say, let me never leave you there alone. And we can do that. Now, the wonderful thing about God is that he stays there. He's very patient. He just stays there waiting all day. just like he stays in our tabernacle waiting all the time. You've never seen a tabernacle burst open in the Blessed Sacrament, run out of it, have you? You haven't seen that. And he doesn't do that in us either. He doesn't break it open and run out of there. He stays there, waiting for us. And he doesn't punish us if we've left him in there alone too long. Sometimes other people do that to us, and sometimes we do that to other people. But God doesn't do that to us. He waits there, and he's so delighted when we come to spend time with him. When we just pay attention to the fact that he's in us, heaven is in us, and we spend some time to be there with him. And we can do that anywhere and anytime. I hope you're doing that right now. You can listen to me, and you can be with him at the same time. And we can really spend our whole lives that way. And that's what he wants. And that's what we're aiming for. It's not like flipping a switch. It's a journey, development, growth, because he wants us to do that in freedom. He doesn't want to force us, and we can't, in order to grow into freedom, we have to grow into freedom. It's not, there's no pill you can take. It makes that happen instantly. But he wants to draw us there. And so we can unite our prayer to the prayer of St. Elizabeth. Let me never leave you alone there. Let me never leave you alone there. I want to be with you in my soul. Keep me there, wholly attentive, wholly alert in my faith, wholly adoring, and fully given up to your creative action. To be attentive to him, to have our attention pointing toward him in our souls, again, it takes a little bit of work because we get carried away on different things. You know, there's that thoughts can appear like trains. You can choose to get on that thing or not. And we've got to make some choices sometimes. There's some trains that arrive and we got to just let them go. They're maybe going to some interesting places, but we don't have to ride all of them. We can make intentional choices about what trains we get on as they pass through us. Or, you know, there's a lot of things swirling around in our minds and we don't have to follow all of them. We can just keep turning our attention back to him, be with him, stay with him. Another way I like to say this, I learned this phrase from our beloved Father Jacques of happy memory, but he would always say, keep your peace. There's nothing more important than keeping your peace. And for some of us that are prone to get a little excitable and get stirred up by this thing or that thing and stand up for everybody's rights and fight for truth and take things on, or when we get worked up about different things, before we get hooked by that, before we step on that justice train or whatever it is, keep your peace. Take your peace with you. If you're going to get on that train, take Jesus with you on that train. But to keep our peace, to not ride every emotion that comes in. Now again, we don't always have a choice. As we grow in freedom, we have more choices that we can make. We actually see the emotion start to show up, and we can choose whether to cooperate with that emotion or not. That's what we're aiming toward, is an interior freedom. We can't always do that, and so we don't need to beat ourselves up. I should have kept my peace. Well, did you actually have a choice? Well, no, I got kind of swept up in the moment. Okay, well, good. Did you have a choice before that? Well, yeah, I put myself in a conversation with somebody that always takes my peace away. Okay, well, now we're working on something. So, you know, we can dial some of these choices back and we can make some, you know, start to take a little bit of ownership over where we are in our lives and some of those things we can adjust. Now, again, there's no point in doing all kinds of beating ourselves up and regretting things. I shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have said this, shouldn't have... Don't waste your time. Learn for the future, and wherever you are in the moment, just plunge that into the abyss. It's the most helpful thing to do. But God wants to make, he has made a dwelling place within us. He's made our souls into heaven. And St. Elizabeth tells us, help me to be wholly attentive. And then she says, help me to be wholly alert in my faith. And that's where faith can substitute for feelings. Our feelings aren't always there. Now, sometimes our feelings are also there. You know, peace is a feeling. We have a feeling of peace, but there's also a kind of reality of peace. Our thoughts are not quite so crazy, and we have a little bit of clarity. We have freedom, really. Peace has to do with freedom. So there's a feeling that goes with that, but there's also just a reality to it. And there's a feeling that goes with God's presence, and there's also just a reality to it that we can acknowledge in faith. Do you believe that He lives in you? Do you believe that He's with you at every moment? Do you believe that He loves you unconditionally? Do you believe that He forgives you no matter what you've done? Do you believe that He has the best things in mind for you? So those are matters of faith. And again, it's not just all about willing it and trying harder, but we can grow in faith. We can grow in our confidence in these truths. And so even when things are a little bit going on all over the place in us, we can still say, I still know that God is in me, still know that He loves me, still know that He's waiting for me, still know that He has peace for me. And sometimes by just repeating those statements of faith, making those acknowledgments of faith, sometimes that helps to even bring some feelings that go with that in our hearts. But Elizabeth knows, St. Elizabeth of the Trinity knows that, you know, it's not all sweetness and light in us. It's wonderful when it is, and we can glorify God with that. But she also says, quoting from Psalm 19, she does a little exposition of Psalm 19. You can pray with that on your own if you want. It's a wonderful little psalm. Psalm 19. She says, night to night announces it. How very consoling that is, she says. My weaknesses, my dislikes, my mediocrity, my faults themselves tell the glory of the eternal. See, she's seeing all these things in her that are night. Weaknesses, dislikes, mediocrity, faults. It's night. It's not particularly pretty, that stuff. It's kind of dark. Doesn't make us feel good. It's the darkness of feelings that are in the wrong direction or simply absent. Weaknesses, dislikes, mediocrity, faults. But none of that prevents us from giving glory to Him. Night to night announces it. How very consoling that is. My weaknesses, my dislikes, my mediocrity, my faults themselves tell the glory of the eternal. She goes on, my sufferings of soul or body also tell the glory of my master. David saying, how shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good He has done for me? This, I will take up the cup of salvation. Psalm 116, wonderful psalm. If I take up, St. Elizabeth says, if I take up this cup crimsoned with the blood of my master, and in holy, joyous thanksgiving, I mingle my blood with that of the holy victim. It is in some way made infinite and can give magnificent praise to the Father. Then my suffering is a message which passes on the glory of the eternal. So now she's giving us a different image. She's seeing the stuff in us that we don't like, that we might even think of as bleeding from wounds, suffering. How did we get our dislikes after all? Well, usually there was someone we disliked, and often it was because they hurt us in some way. Our weaknesses, sometimes because of neglect and rejection, because of wounds. Our mediocrity, sometimes we're held down by discouragement, despair. We don't believe in ourselves because others haven't believed in us, and so we don't really strive as much for great things, and we sort of settle for something. We're afraid to be vulnerable, to put ourselves out there. Our faults, again, our falls. All of this is kind of bloody. That's her image. Wounded. There's a woundedness there. So what do we do with the blood? Put it in His blood. What do we do with the wounds? Put them in His wounds. And when I mix my blood with His blood, when I put my blood in the chalice, it proclaims the glory of God because it becomes indistinguishable. Where's His blood and where's my blood? I don't know. It looks like it's all His blood. That's what happens. Our temptation is, especially when we're hurt, when we're wounded, sensitive, vulnerable, we cover that up in different ways. We numb it in different ways. Cover it up with anger, resentment, retaliation. We cover it up with despair, discouragement, withdrawal, giving up. We cover it up with fears, and sometimes we medicate it, numb it, turning to television or turning to other kinds of distractions on the good end, turning to sexual sin, drugs, alcohol on the bad end, you know. But what can we do with it? We can put it in the chalice. We can mix it with his blood. We can plunge it, show it to him. Let him see it. It can become a way of intimacy with him. We can mix our blood with his blood, and it becomes all his blood. He has a way of purifying and sanctifying. When we let his love into our wounds, it heals. It heals, it sanctifies, and it makes our wounds give glory to him. That's what St. Elizabeth is reflecting on. Just to do that gives him glory. Sometimes we can get stuck. I haven't healed yet. Well, do you have more blood to put in there? Good, you can give him more glory. Give him as much glory as you can. And if he chooses to heal that in the process of giving him glory, wonderful. That's one less thing to deal with. Now you can find some different ways to give him glory. But just to show him, just to mingle it with his, just to put our wounds in his wounds, just to feel them also as much as we can. There are reasons we have defenses, you know. There are reasons we have distractions. Sometimes we can't take it. So we have to be honest with ourselves about that too. Sometimes we need to step away. We need to get out of the situation. We need a little bit of anger. Anger is not a bad thing in itself. We want to direct the anger at actions rather than at people, because actions are bad. People are not bad, right? You know, teasing those things apart is valuable. But anyway, we need some of those things. But also as much as we can, especially in a quiet moment, especially in a time of retreat, when we can kind of get those wounds in our hands, when we can feel some of those dislikes without them flooding us and overwhelming us, when we can see some of that stuff in us, faults and our difficulties, when we can just feel it, see it, put it in the chalice, mingle it with his blood, let it become divinized. Let it give him glory. Let it become a river of living water flowing up from within us. Our wounds can become life-giving. If it weren't for the pierced wound in his side, that river of living water wouldn't have emerged from his body. Our wounds can become life-giving. And so I return again to invite you to amazement. You carry heaven within you. Wounded, broken, limited, whatever you are, however you see yourself, the fact is, you carry heaven within you. And the Lord wants to help you bring that out more and more through all the good things and through all the wounded places as well, through the joys and through the sufferings, through all of it. We can allow that river of living water to flow up from within us and to become life-giving for others. So as we move now to the Eucharistic sacrifice and his blood becomes present to us, maybe we can find a few of those places in us, not so pretty, wounded, limited, plunge him into the chalice, and then let him feed you with his own blood.